This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good morning, and thank you so much for starting your day with us right here on The Morning Run. My name is Tan Chung Han, and with me, Joyce Goh. Good morning, Joyce.
Good morning, Han. How are you? How was your weekend?
I slept a lot this past weekend. The weather was perfect for it, so not so productive, but certainly very, very comforting. How
and
about your
recharged.
Weekend? Yes, recharge. How about yourself?
Mine was quite packed out with kids' birthdays and two back-to-back birthday parties on Saturday, nearly. Crashed on Saturday night, early night with my husband and I in pajamas by 8 something. Yeah, and then
see,
Sunday
that's once you procreate, your life isn't yours anymore, isn't it? So that's why I choose to withhold said productive
it's
rights.
It's fun.
Sure, what you say fun, I say tiring.
It can be fun at times, yeah.
All right, folks, you can always be part of this conversation. We'll be keeping you company all the way till 10 a.m. this morning. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. Again, that's 018-789-8899. Or you can tweet us at BFM Radio. Now, time to get you guys up to date on some news that happened overnight. Let's start with some local news here. Let's look at the race for the PKR Deputy President's role. Rafizi Ramli now leads Dato Sri Azmin Ali by 48 votes. Now, it's not the final tally yet, but given the votes that have come in so far, looks like Rafizi Ramli is now in the lead.
Yeah, so Rafizi won in the Federal Territories leg of the race. That's by a margin of 141 votes in three territories of KL, Putrajaya and Labuan. Mm-hmm. And he also captured three states of Kelantan, Terengganu and Pahang, while I think Azmin was declared the victor for Penang and Johor so far.
Right, you know, so far. And again, plenty at stake here because you recall early September, you had Rafizi saying that his bid for the number two spot in PKR is to safeguard the plan to make Dato Sri Anwar Ibrahim as the Prime Minister. So that's the ambitions there. Again, there's still plenty of votes to come in for Melaka, Negeri Sembilan, Perlis, Kedah, Perak, Selangor. Yeah, they will e-vote this month and then Sabah, Sarawak will follow suit in November.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are saying that Azmin is seen to have an advantage when it comes to Selangor votes. And I think the results, as you mentioned, is coming out in November. But it is a very close fight, Han.
Yeah, so far. So we'll continue to keep you posted right here on BFM 89.9. Now, moving on to some global news here. China has now confirmed that the Interpol chief has been detained. So this according to the country that's China's anti-corruption body, saying that he being Mr. Meng Hongwei, is being detained due to unspecified breaches of the law.
Yeah, so Mr. Meng is the latest high-profile disappearance in China, you know, where there was a number of top government officials. You have billionaires as well, even A-list celebrities that have vanished in recent months, right?
Yeah, for tax evasion or something, right?
Fan Bingbing. And that was over for Fan Bingbing, right? I think she disappeared in China in July and she came out with a public apology recently. Her fine, Han, for tax evasion and other offences, $100 million.
Wow.
That's crazy.
And that's only in taxes, right? So makes you wonder how much she actually took home there. Mm-hmm. So again, we have to wait and see there. Mr. Meng is the head of the, kind of like the board of advisors over there, where else the CEO is actually, he actually is the organization's executive committee, which he heads. And then it's actually run day-to-day out of France there. All right. So we'll, again, you know, keep you guys posted on that. On to some sports news here. Hey, John Terry, former Chelsea captain there, has announced that he is set to resign. So, well, he's retiring from playing and he left Aston Villa in the summer and he could possibly take up a role at Aston Villa as perhaps one of the coaching staff over there.
So he's 37.
Yep.
And he's been playing for over 2 decades. Yeah, over 23 years. Mm-hmm. Looking at Premier Leagues and FA Cups and all that.
Yeah, so trophy-laden career, although as a Manchester United fan, I am so, so grateful to John Terry for missing that penalty in the 2008 UEFA Champions League back in Moscow. So thank you very much, John Terry, and all the best in your retirement. All right, and when we come back, we'll consider, you know, what can we do in retirement? Maybe watch a lot of Netflix? Maybe. All right, and or
maybe for you.
Yeah, maybe for me.
I might have grandkids.
You do that. To each their own. All right, so we'll discuss some Netflix or online viewing habits next, right here on The Morning Run on BFM 89.9. And that was the Electric Light Orchestra with Sweet Talking Woman right here on The Morning Run on BFM 89.9. I'm Han, and with me is the Sweet Talking Woman, Joyce Goh.
Wow.
Joyce paid me $50 to say that.
I'm kidding.
I was hell hostage.
Gotta buy you breakfast later.
Right. Okay, well, so there's a story here about how the rise of Netflix and the competitors to Netflix via the, in the online streaming space, that apparently has been having some unintended consequences, whereby it's pushing consumers back toward piracy. So as opposed to making things more accessible, making legit legal content accessible to for more people, but now with perhaps too many options, it's having the opposite effect.
Yeah, so one of the reasons is because of exclusivity streaming deals. You know, more and more people are having and producing exclusive content now. You have like Game of Thrones for HBO, House of Cards for Netflix, and, you know, Handmaid's Tale for Hulu. And I think Disney is also, they want to pull out their stuff from Netflix and they want to launch their own streaming service as well. So Right. Everyone wants to go onto this whole exclusive streaming train. And because of that, consumers are saying that it's costing too much for them to buy so many exclusive streaming deals direct. Mm. So they turn to piracy. But is that really the way to go, though?
Well, I mean, it seems to be, again, not justifying piracy here, but it seems to be the more convenient option, right? Because via that one pirate content platform or whatever you call it, or like BitTorrent, right, for example, then you can access everything for perhaps no price at all. Perhaps it's free. I'm not quite sure how it works, right? You know, but this points to the idea that, you know, you do have this economies of scale whereby mm-hmm. you've got too many options, right? Too much competition, and that is not necessarily a good thing.
Yeah, this is, again, I guess, a paradox of choice. You know, if you could only pick 2 to 3 streaming services, what would they be? But then again, for me, right, if you go through the whole BitTorrent, that route, or you buy that, you go to Laoyan and you buy that box thing for a couple hundred ringgit to have access to a lot of pirated content, it's actually really mafan, you know, really troublesome to access these kind of content. To even go watch one channel, it takes really long, because I went to a friend's house and he had that and he wanted to show my kids some. My kids were, they wanted to watch cartoons, and he turned on this box thing that he had, a pirated box thing, and to access the cartoon channel took really long. So it's quite troublesome.
Yeah, well, it's troublesome, but it's potentially free, though, and you can then access all the content there that perhaps some of these proprietary platforms are restrictive of. So Netflix only has their own content, and likewise Amazon only has their own thing. You know, so I guess the question here is, now, what would it take to actually just gravitate towards one streaming platform, right? Now, is it just purely down to content, or are there other hindrances as well? So, for example, price, accessibility, or, you know, at the end of the day, forget about these, you know, principles. You're just going to go towards what's convenient and what's cheaper or /free.
Yeah, I guess today is more of a consumer's world right now. You have so much choice out there. It's a matter of which one to pick. Just too many out there and too little time.
Speaking of too little time, I actually have got zero accounts with any of these streaming devices, because I just don't have time to watch all this stuff, really. I just wait for something to show up on my Facebook feed, and, like, you know, if that's a video, I'll just watch that and that's it.
You're not on Netflix?
No. Nope,
Astro? Yeah.
And I've cut the cord as well. Oh. You know. And look, so the idea is that traditional media, or traditional broadcast linear media, that is severely at risk due to these streaming guys. And then now even these streaming guys are at risk, because there's just too many options out there, too costly to keep up with the times. So people are going towards BitTorrent, or like me, I just pull away, you know, just like, yeah, forget.
So what
about
do you
it.
Do?
Well, I work a lot. Yeah. So that's why I got
to unwind?
Yeah, well, to unwind, or I guess there's Facebook and other things that do not require me to sign up for a monthly subscription for video streaming.
Like Tinder?
Maybe, yeah.
Well, it looks like the disruptor is being disrupted in this case when it comes to streaming services.
Mm. Well, let us know what you think at 018-789-8899. Again, that's 018-789-8899. Or you can tweet us at BFM Radio. Let us know, how many streaming services do you currently use and why did you choose the ones you did? And to take it one step further, are you willing to cut the cord or really cut that online subscription as well, because it's just too messy? It's a jungle out there. Let us know what you think. We're going to come back with more right here on The Morning Run, so stay tuned on BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was Father John Misty with Mr. Tillman right here on The Morning Run. I'm Han, with me, Joyce Goh. Thank you so much, Mr. Tan, for WhatsApping in on that story that we discussed earlier about, you know, piracy and online streaming. He says, it's a new Malaysia. Let's show the world we are now better. Stop our piracy habits. Totally agree with you here. But then, you know, given the heightened costs when it comes to keeping up with the Joneses, when it comes to the plethora of content that we can access via online streaming, is there a breaking point? And that's what we're discussing here. In fact, this story was actually initiated by our enterprise team. They come on after the 10 a.m. News bulletin, and they discussed this on Friday. And since then, there have been plenty of people weighing in via Twitter. And I must say, without mentioning some of these sites' names, some of our listeners have got no qualms revealing that they are into some of these piracy habits or viewing habits or accessing these pirated websites, right?
Yeah, but also a lot of them are really onto the whole. Some of them are streaming consumers rather than cable TV.
Yeah.
They rather opt for streaming.
Yeah, you know, and so looking at all the options that are out there, some of the names that I mentioned out there, it does seem a bit overwhelming, at least for me, and that's why I have got zero accounts. Not even Spotify. I'm just okay with listening to the ads. I'm good.
And
yeah.
Radio. Listen
and radio.
To the radio.
Of course, BFM 89.9 free. And you can always stream us via the BFM app as well. All right. Now let's turn our attentions to some comments made by the Deputy Minister for the Women, Family and Community Development Ministry, Hannah Yeo, talking about, you know, how perhaps not all parents or not all adults are fit to be parents. And this is a discussion about how there could be this government-initiated parenting class, government-initiated parenting class, which makes me ponder, well, you're a parent. I'm not. So obviously, you're the only expert in the room.
I'm
right?
not an expert.
You know, like, who gets to say, really, that, you know, one is a fit parent and one is not? Is there a one-size-fits-all mold for parenting?
I don't think so. I think parenting is I mean, to me, I can't speak for all parents, but it's a learning process. And I don't think there's, I mean, for me, I don't think I'm a perfect parent. You know, if you ask whether or not a person is fit to be a parent, who is a fit parent, it's so subjective. And honestly, Han, the struggle to juggle is real, especially if you're a working parent. There's just so many things that's happening at the right time. Sometimes I do have, for me as well, I do suffer mommy guilt. I do ask, oh, you know,
What's that? What's mommy guilt?
To me, mommy guilt is like, oh, rather than spend time with the kids, I'm so busy with work or my stuff. Like, you know, I don't have time. And then even just to share with you, for me, my eldest, this whole week, the whole of last week, he was asking me to bake. You know, mommy, when can we bake? Can we bake? And I kept telling him, you know, yeah, one day this week, we're going to bake. And I kept on consciously delaying it, putting it back, because I just didn't have time.
You broke your mommy promise.
And yesterday, I ran out of one day this week. Yesterday was the last day.
Oh, that's
and
right.
He reminded me, and, you know, and we baked. And
oh,
I realized,
okay,
actually, muffins, really quick one, but he was so happy, and it occurred to me that actually sometimes, you know, we forget that their time is precious too.
Right. So obviously there's a broad spectrum here when it comes to parenting. Again, I'm not a parent, but I'm one of nine kids, and I see my parents, you know, how they tried to raise all nine of us. It was sheer madness. Let me just put it that way.
It's
right?
Massive juggling act. <Yeah. laughs>
Look, and it turned out whereby the older kids, you know, I'm the third in the nine, right? We had to become parents early on as well, because there's just so much time that my parents had, and only two hands and two legs and only 24 hours a day each, that they couldn't and attend to every single need out there, right? So now there's that end of the spectrum where you're great parents, you're trying to be better, but then the examples that YB Hannah Yeo is employing is, you know, individuals who abuse their children, either mentally or physically. So there's that end of the spectrum, right? But then how do you then preempt such behavior then? And is it the government's role, like, whereby, okay, you go through this class, if you get an A or whatever the equivalent is in that class, then you are certified and you are allowed by the government to go and procreate. I mean,
you're talking about parenting classes?
Yeah, well, that's what they're suggesting,
yeah, that's
right?
That's what you're suggesting,
but
yeah.
It's almost like this Minority Report kind of thing, where like you preempt these would-be, well, in the movie it's criminals, now it's would-be bad parents. How do you even ascertain that to begin with?
And the thing is, when you talk about abuse and all that, we don't know the amount of stress that the parents themselves are going through. We don't know, because you read of all these stories as well, how some working parents, they have no choice but to send them to unlicensed babysitters. And you question yourself, like, why would that mom send them to an unlicensed babysitter? But if you dig further, they have no choice. Mm. Yeah, people don't realize that. People are so quick to judge. You know, they go down this road and, oh, this person, why do you do this? Why do you send this kid here? Why do you do this to this kid? But why are you not sending your kid to school? But sometimes people don't realize that the parents don't have a choice.
Yeah. Well, let us know what you think. Again, 018-789-8899. That's the number to WhatsApp, 018-789-8899, or tweet us at BFM Radio. Not all parents are fit to be parents. That's what YB Hannah Yeo says. What do you think about that? And the perhaps the idea to have parenting classes conducted by the government. Let us know what you think. All right, we're coming up to the 6:30 a.m. news bulletin, so stick with us right here on the Morning Run. But before that, Joyce.
Yeah, speaking of parenting classes, I think it's good to also have, like, when you're a first-time parent, it's good to educate the parents, because I remember as a first-time mom, you know, you go through like baby blues, postnatal depression, and we don't talk about that enough. Mm. You know, we don't share about that, and young new mothers, we don't realize. I remember crying to myself first time during confinement, wondering what's wrong with me, and I didn't know because people didn't talk about it enough.
Right, maybe I should hook you up with my mom, though. She had 9 kids, and she's got plenty of advice to give, I'm sure. All right, so again, we're coming up to the 6:30 a.m. news bulletin, so stay with us right here on BFM 89.9. Shout to the top by the Style Council. Hit track there from the early 1980s, 84, 85, right about there. I'm Tan Chung Han, 80s baby here. With me, Joyce Goh, also 80s baby, and you are tuned in to the Morning Run right here on BFM 89.9. It's now 40 minutes past 6 a.m. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. Thank you also to Zarif Aizad for his comments. Now, earlier we were discussing this, the comments from the Deputy Minister for the Women and Family Ministry, you know, saying that perhaps some parents are not fit to be parents and the government is perhaps mulling some parenting classes. So Zarif weighed in saying pre-wedding classes can be conducted for the potential would-be parents, putting emphasis primarily in good parenting values and, most importantly, good mental health practice. Now, while I agree with the intent that Zarif mentioned there, but that phrase, once again, good parenting values, what does that mean and who gets to determine it? Because, again, with every single child, I would think, given that I'm one of 9 kids, the way you treat each child, you know, there are nuances, right? And, you know, what may be good for one set of parents may not be good for another set of parents, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's subjective.
Good point from Arif, Zarif there. Thank you. And also, I think it's good to have classes where to educate parents on the realities of parenting, you know, where you say goodbye to your sleep. Sometimes you say goodbye to your social life. There's someone else in your life right now.
And you're not exactly selling the concept of parenthood to me right now.
No, it's good.
Though.
But the thing is, that's exactly it, Han. I think it's good to be realistic about it. Not just all the butterflies. Parenting is great. But I think people... but we need to be aware of the realities.
Yeah, certainly. Like, but again, I'm coming from the perspective about, say, you know, when it comes to disciplining your child, right? Who gets to have the final say on that? You know, what is... because here in Malaysia, right, you still have the whole rotan thing. I was raised with the rotan, right? I don't know about you. view. You know, some parents still believe in, you know, the power of the rotan. Some are saying, no, that's no longer appropriate for raising a child in this day and age. You know, so with these kind of questions, who gets the final say? You know, I think that's where, you know, the muddy waters really get into it.
Or maybe classes might help. You know, there are different ways of disciplining, but it depends on the home as well. But discipline is definitely something that parents have to deal with, and we should be aware of, and we have to, something that it should be practiced.
Certainly. So keep your comments coming, 018-789-8899, or tweet us at BFM Radio. Now let's turn our attentions to another story. Well, over the weekend we had the BFM's Uma Pagan Apike Pagan held the Kuala Lumpur Festival, and Tom Wright, who is one of the two authors of The Billion Dollar Whale, was there in attendance. And look, Tom has actually gotten quite a bit of flack for writing 1MDB from some vested interests, shall we say, and perhaps accusing him of benefiting financially from what from Malaysia's pain, being 1MDB. You know, people perhaps saying, you know, oh, you know, Tom, you're just benefiting from Malaysia's troubles. And, you know, whether or not such criticism is fair, where do you draw that line between, say, commercial interests versus the principles of saving a nation? I mean, as broad as that sounds.
For me personally, I'm not sure whether Tom Wright first started out wanting to save a nation, but I think as a journalist, you just, if there's a good story and you have access to it, you think you have a lead to it, you're going to jump and chase that story. You know, if you have sources and you for me, if people come and tell you things that, oh my gosh, that's quite a good story, and if you can confirm it and you keep on digging, and you can land that story, wow, your editors will be happy. And it's just a story. It's a journalist instinct, you know, to just chase a good story. Whether, in this case, the book is doing really well, but who would have known? How would he have known when he first started chasing the 1MDB story? At that time, remember, he had detractors as well. People are saying, is it true? And all that, right? And, you know, I don't know. Do you think he started off wanting to save Malaysia?
Well, I don't know about him wanting to start off saving Malaysia, you know, but whether or not, I think what's being debated here among some parties is that, you know, whether this should be made into a commercial venture, right? And so his response is, and I quote, "I'm not an NGO. I'm not an activist. I didn't write Billion Dollar Whale to save Malaysia. I wrote it because, like all journalists, I was attracted to a good story." Now, you know, based on some comments that have come out since then, they seem to be in support of Tom right there. It's like, yeah, you know, go for it. But then when you contrast that to, say, Michelle Yeoh and how she was treated in the online space after it was revealed that she was part of the production company that got the rights to Billion Dollar Whale, and she was just, let's just say, you know, treated negatively, right? So what's going to make her commercial venture different from Tom Wright's commercial venture? On one hand, book versus the movie.
I think for Michelle Yeoh's case, some people felt that because she was full on, I mean, she was a big supporter of BN, even for Dato' Sri Najib Razak at one time. And so fast, you know, it's just in the, within just a couple of years, and then she kind of like switched sides. And now she wants, she, not that she switched sides, but she wants to produce this movie, which is actually not in support. The movie will not reflect well for Dato' Sri Najib Razak. I don't think it will,
if she stays true to the book.
Yeah, correct, if she stays true to the book. So in this case, people are wondering, oh, is how sincere is she in this? Whereas for Tom Wright, I think he started off chasing the story for Wall Street Journal, and it's just, bam, like, you know, it's just consistent all the way.
Well, but there's a difference between writing for the Wall Street Journal, like online articles or stories, versus pursuing your own commercial interests, i.e. the book, right? There is a decision to be made. You know, Michelle Yeoh is going to be making money as well. Sure, there is this baggage after her speech in support for Dato' Sri Najib, and I guess that is the rationale for the differing opinions over there. But let us know what you think. 018-789-8899. Again, that's a number to WhatsApp, 018-789-8899, or tweet us at BFM Radio. Commercial interests versus national interests. Where do you draw the line? Are they mutually exclusive? Let us know what you think. All right, we'll be back with more here on The Morning Run on BFM 89.9. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9, that was The Monkees with Last Train to Clarksville. And that song goes out especially to At Life of a Doctor, who tweeted in saying that that song totally made his commute. Well, we do what we can there. Thank you so much for tweeting in. Also, thanks to Paul Lau and his Wani who joined in the conversation. Paul Lau says, and this is in response to the conversation that we had earlier, following comments made by YB Hannah Yeo about, you know, perhaps some parents not fit to be parents and might have to mull some government-led parenting classes. Paul Lau says, teach parents the principles and not prescribe methods. Teach the importance of discipline and not whether to use caning or not. Well, then you've got to manifest that discipline somehow, right? Is it just a timeout, dunce cap?
Naughty corner?
Mm-hmm. Or do you actually go the whole Asian style kind of discipline there?
Yeah. Which is what, when they fall down, run some more.
Like, so much for your self-esteem, child, you know, we're going to suppress it. I'm kidding.
But good point, Paul. Good point.
Well, here's one. He says, parenting courses by the government, You already have Kusu Skarwin by government. Have they achieved what they were supposed to? And I'm more in agreement with his one there, right? You know, I understand that there are some horrible, horrible atrocities committed by some parents in abusing their children, but whether or not a sweeping parenting classes led by the government, whether or not that is the solution. Again, one size does not fit all.
But maybe they should just relook at the classes for this Christmas Kawin as well. Maybe if that's not working out, they have to relook as to why and how they can improve it.
All right. Well, so again, you can always be part of this conversation. 018-789-8899. That's the number to WhatsApp or tweet us at BFM Radio. Now, should we have classes to help us pay our summons? Because you've got the Federal Territories Minister, Khalid Abdul Samad, who says that City Hall has only collected 2 million ringgit since the start of September, when they expected 100 million ringgit. So that's a collection of 2% versus the target there.
Yeah, and you have the Federal Territories Minister Khalid Abdul Samad saying that, you know, they were expecting a lot more because apparently the total amount of money from parking summonses, clamping fines and others, that's almost 1 billion ringgit, Han.
Well, I'm going to assume that this is only for KL or the Federal Territories there, right? Again, this is my assumption. Correct me if I'm wrong. Yeah, 1 billion ringgit. That's a lot of money that cannot be collected. And still, they've only collected since the start of September. So over the last 1 month or so, 2 million ringgit versus the 100 million ringgit goal there. So perhaps those who have outstanding summonses and all that, not so willing to contribute to this new, new government, really.
Well, and also I think there's this, they're saying that, you know, if you pay within 48 hours of receiving the summonses, you know, one would only have to fork out about 15 ringgit per summon. So that's quite good. 15 ringgit, that's a steal, you know, for Penangai.
Yeah, so
very good deal there.
Good discount
there.
Very
good deal.
So even with the discount, right, you know, people are not paying up. So again, what is driving this complacency or defiance of the law here, right? Because even with the discount, they're not paying out. Like, what more do you want the government to do? And it once again highlights the near impossible task of trying to change cultures and lifestyle habits, you know, not just in Malaysia, but all around the world.
Yeah, do you think people are thinking, oh, because there are no consequences for not paying? So if I don't pay, if I sit on my fine, what's going to happen?
Right.
Or, you know, if there's going to be a discount now, maybe further down the line, there'll be a discount. Because if we look to Singapore, there's this headline that actually a man was fined SGD 7,000 for failing to pay 660 Singaporean dollars for parking offences.
Well, there we go, right?
Yeah, so $7,000 you had to pay because he was sitting on his 660 Singaporean dollars parking offences.
So perhaps the law has to be changed here whereby the deterrent is big enough which would compel people to start paying those parking tickets, right? Forget the discounts. No, like the Mr. Nice Guy only goes so far, obviously.
Doesn't seem to be working here.
Yeah, at the end of the day, you got to bring out that big stick. Not literally per se, but figuratively speaking. All right. Thank you all for those WhatsApp that are coming in here. You got Intan Sabrina saying that we should revamp the Kursus Kawin and include parenting skills, add financial and family planning as well while you are at it. I think those comments were Joyce Goh's, though, not Hannah Yeo's. But still, I think, Joyce, you'll take that, right? Being mistaken for Hannah Yeo.
Yeah.
Also, Ng Lai Yok WhatsApped in saying that Sarawak Report was the first, not Wall Street Journal, although Joyce Goh might say The Edge.
Might have a shout in there.
I don't know. Well, speaking of The Edge, on today's Breakfast Grill, Joyce, you'll be speaking to the publisher of The Edge.
Mm-hmm. Publisher and Group CEO Ho Kei Tat for The Edge Media Group are going to talk to him about their coverage of 1MDB. They were one of the first to chase the 1MDB story, and they were shut down for that.
All right, this is The Breakfast Grill coming on after the 8 a.m. news bulletin. But we've got Sabrina Magdalene poised at the mic for the 7 a.m. news bulletin. But taking us there is Green Day with When I Come Around, right here on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.